Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mike. Got a big, long poem today.
Yeah, I'm going to tell a little story here in a moment. But yes, we do. This focuses on lipid guidelines. I hope that listeners aren't sick to death of lipid guidelines. I do think that there is a certain weariness that we have about these guidelines that seem to come out all too often. Clearly, the management of risk factors for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease is important. We're going to talk today about primary prevention. Again, this is done when someone doesn't previously have an experience with, in this case, atherosclerotic vascular disease. The rationale for activities focused on reducing lipids is based on a lot of epidemiologic data documenting a continuous positive graded relationship between LDL concentration and cardiovascular disease. Lots of this research has been done by Big Pharma, and much of it has been done by cardiologists who see the world a little bit differently than we do as primary care doctors. Here comes my story. This brings up, in fact, it's one of my all-time favorite papers by a guy named Nigel Mathers. He published it in the BMJ, I think in the late 1980s, and it's called The Gatekeeper and the Wizard. The paper starts out that once upon a time in a green and pleasant land, there lived a gatekeeper and a wizard. The wizard lived in a great castle above a town. In the castle, she had a marvelous crystal ball that could tell her why people were sick. She would then use one of her magical potions to make the people better. The wizard was a very clever woman. The gatekeeper lived in a big house next to the entrance to the castle. His job was to decide who was sick enough to see the wizard and open the gate into the castle for that person. The gatekeeper was also very clever, and he too had magic potions that would make people better. Now, most of the sick people who came to see the gatekeeper didn't need to see the wizard. They were usually only slightly sick or worried about being sick, and the gatekeeper was amazingly good at deciding who would need to see the wizard. Most of the people seen by the wizard were very sick, and the wizard could cast his spells to make them better. The wizard and the gatekeeper needed each other. The paper goes on, I'll stop there, but it is a classic example in fairy tale language of how the world is seen differently by gatekeepers and wizards. And this poem was written by wizards, specifically cardiologists. All of this sounds vaguely similar because we've been round and round the same issue. This particular poem that Mark's chosen was published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. It was published by cardiologists, apparently with no primary care docs. It was published in 2018, the very end of last year. I'm not going to give listeners the citation because it's not pages, it's electronic, but you can find it in the Poem Library. Mark, what do cardiologists recommend for the management of hyperlipidemia?
Yeah, I love the, thanks, Mike. I love the title of this because it the 2018 AHA, ACC, AACVPR, AAPA, ABC, ACPM, ADA, AGS, APHA, ASPC, NLA, PCNA guidelines. That's, they make it sound like everybody's in on this together. We're all in total agreement, except the letters missing are ACP and AAFP, which are the groups of physicians that actually probably do most of the lipid management in this country. And that's not coincidental. So this is an update to their 2013 guideline. This is one of the longest poems I've ever written, so I'm trying to cut it down because, and I loved your story, The Gatekeeper and the Wizard, because that's absolutely one of my favorites. And it reminds me, I'm giving a talk on cardiovascular prevention Friday, and I'm going to have to throw that in there because it reminds me that'd be really appropriate. Anyway, this guideline goes back to the future. So remember in 2013, they said, you know, no more worrying about LDL targets. We just look at the 10-year cardiovascular event risk. And then people who are low risk don't need a statin. People who are very high risk need a statin for sure. You know, other patients may or may not, depending on their values. Guideline in this case is going backwards in some ways because now they're saying, well, we do have to follow LDL levels. And they say that we should target a certain percentage reduction in LDL a higher reduction for higher risk patients. And so basically for patients over age 40, they recommend a high intensity statin for everyone with an LDL greater than 190. That hasn't changed. And a moderate or high intensity statin, depending on the other risk factors for patients with diabetes. So if you take the diabetics and those with a super high LDL aside, you know, they get a statin. For everyone else, we use the pooled cohort equation still to put people into one of four, actually, I think there are five risk groups now. If the 10-year risk is less than 5%, still no statin. That hasn't changed. 5 to 7.5%, which is really the number needed to treat for that small a risk to prevent one event, is well over 100. But they say consider a moderate intensity statin if they have a, quote, risk enhancer. So now there's a new list of things we have to remember. LDL over 160, South Asian ancestry, preeclampsia history, rheumatoid arthritis, HIV, metabolic syndrome, blah, blah, blah. So it's a long list. And if they have some of those, that might push you toward a statin in this slightly elevated risk group. If the 10-year risk is 7.5 to 20%, they say moderate intensity statin. And they say now target a 30 to 50% reduction in LDL. So that means you have to follow the LDL to make sure it's come down. This is based on really more observational data and saying we know that the percent reduction correlates with the, in observational studies, a percent reduction in cardiovascular events. So they're saying if they're moderate risk, we want at least a moderate reduction in LDL. Greater than 20% risk, they say it's a statin for sure and target a 50% reduction in LDL. So probably a higher intensity statin, maybe at a higher dose. Whew. Okay, so that we're only halfway through. So patients with known vascular disease who have two or more of the following: acute coronary syndrome recently, previous MI, stroke, peripheral arterial disease. So if they have two of these things or more, they're very high risk. So these patients should be targeting an LDL of 70 milligrams per deciliter. And if they don't hit 70, this is the one group where you should consider these new PCSK9 inhibitors that cost $15,000 a year. So again, the only group where those PCSK9s are recommended by the guideline is very high risk. They've got two or more kinds of cardiovascular disease or atherosclerotic disease, and they haven't managed to get their LDL to 70 with ezetimibe and a statin. Regarding those PCSK9 inhibitors, they say the long-term safety is uncertain and the cost effectiveness is low at mid-2018 prices. They do, again, recommend regular monitoring of lipid levels, whereas the previous guideline didn't say anything. And I think the last thing is that, you know, as we said before, the ACP and the AAFP have not endorsed this guideline and were not part of developing it, which is really kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, wow. Are they suggesting that this is something that should be done in primary care? Are they going further and saying that a cardiologist really needs to do this?
No, not at all. I mean, there's nothing in there that suggests, you know, which kind of physician should be doing it. But at the same time, you know, the complexity of this guideline is, I think, too high, not for family doctors, but for cardiologists, for anybody. I mean, it's just too complex. And they have these long lists of risk enhancers. I think what's going to happen is what usually happens when a guideline is too complicated is that we're going to simplify it. And we're going to say, okay, more or less one size fits all. And if someone's LDL is, I can imagine docs saying, if the LDL is high, I'm just going to target a 40 or 50% reduction in LDL and call it a day. So I think, you know, one of the problems with this guideline is just its increase in complexity, its lack of a clear evidence base for a lot of the recommendations, the fact that it's probably going to lead to more and more people taking statins, which do have some harms and certainly costs. So, you know, and I think it kind of skirts the issue of lipid treatment in patients over 70 or 75. There have been several recent studies. They all had LLC, a couple others, Jupiter trial, that have found little or no benefit of statin use in these older populations, including a systematic review recently we covered in POEMS. And yet they say, well, it may be reasonable to treat elevated lipids in patients over 75. Well, yeah, it also may not be. And I think we need to be, you know, looking at that evidence pretty closely. And when I look at it, I don't see a lot of benefit for older patients. You could make an argument that if someone's been tolerating a statin really well and they've been taking it for a long time and are doing fine, continue it. But certainly in terms of starting it anew, I would be very hesitant to do so in someone who's 75 or older.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just another aside, it's a very small point, but I've recently, perhaps listeners as well, read an article in the New York Times about Asian ancestry and cardiovascular disease. I had completely not been aware of the profound risk that Asian ancestry has on cardiovascular disease and in terms of surgical mortality and the like. So it is a risk group that we just, and those of us that take care of a lot of Southeast Asians need to pay more attention to. They have perhaps a special need there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. I think it's my understanding is it's primarily South Asians, so people from Pakistan, from India, that's what I associate that increased risk with, but it may be there for other groups as well.
Yeah, no, I think that the article was talking about those same groups. You know, there are a few other countries as well, but you know, both diabetes and cardiovascular disease, and you know, it is complicated. It's not as simple as just a change in diet. We don't quite understand what's causing it. In fact, there's some people who are researchers in the field who feel as though the coronary anatomy is actually significantly different in folks from those regions than they are in other places, and that the vessels are smaller. And anyways, I'm not an expert, but it is a risk group that we should pay attention to. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again in a week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike. Sure.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.